night's message is, it's a long one. It's not like a fitting title, but amen. I'm the pastor, amen? Reads, because we're doing discipleship right now to bring growth, amen? That's what we're trying to grow the church. And if we're not careful, we can grow the church but not grow spiritually. Amen? The enemy can give us results and start giving us results and getting numerical growth can start coming in. Amen? So the title of this night's message is Discipleship Not Only Calls for Numerical Growth, but Personal Growth as Well. Amen? Discipleship does not only call for numerical growth. That is good. We want to grow in numbers, but if we're not careful, we can become another church in Milwaukee that has a lot of numbers with no spiritual growth whatsoever. No spiritual conviction. Amen. Before the Lord. So the title of this night's message is Discipleship Not Only Calls for Numerical Growth, but Personal Growth. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Church is going there. We got a couple of keyboard players now. We got a couple of drummers now. Amen. And I'm going to let it out of the bag right now. Alex came over today, my son. Amen. It's always a blessing. He walks in real smooth, right? He walks in, wrinkled T-shirt. I'm just like, he never got past ironing a shirt. Amen. But comes in, you know. I haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, but only when he's at church. So I was in the Lord when he walked in. Amen. And I was happy to see him. I was on the phone talking to a guy wanting to come into the rehab, and I answered the door. He no longer has the key to the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I had to go answer the door. It was my son. So I'm talking. He comes in. I don't even tell him hi. I'm saying, if you want to change your life, you know, and you're really tired of living the way you're tired of living. But purposely, I was doing it for my son. Could come back. He says, when I left, Dad was talking about Jesus to people. I walk in a couple of weeks later, and he's still talking about Jesus. And I was giving my heart to this man on the phone that was a heroin addict, but at the same time, I was killing two birds with one stone, where Alex would be able to say, man, Dad's still talking about Jesus. Just because I left the house don't mean Dad stopped talking about Jesus. Just because I left the house not correct, Dad still embraced me, still gave me a big hug. Hey, son, I love you, son. What are you doing? And he goes, nothing. I got my little mints right here. And he pulls a little velvet, little box out of his pocket, right? And he goes, I said, ooh, stay down. What's that, an engagement ring? He looks at me like that. Like he wants to skip the engagement and go right into marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what Pastor Irwin would say. He got to let them make their mistakes. He could stay living in sin. But he knows he needs to be right before the Lord because he's been taught right, being right. So you want to get married? All right. And so long after, you're going to still have to be sat down, but you can get back up and be an instrument of worship for the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Yeah. We serve a God of grace and mercy. And then, man, I went back up to my chair, my little worn-out chair up there. I said, thank you, Jesus. I was working it, baby, working it. But I was able to see how God is able to move even when we make mistakes, whether they're small ones or big ones, how we're able to honor God. Amen. And here, Alex knew, man, I can get back up there, but I got to get married. I can't continue to live in sin. And it's got to go beyond. It wasn't just to play the drums. I know Alex, he'll say, I don't want to play the drums. You know, the foremost important in his heart right now is that he wants to be right before the Lord. He probably had a few good matches with her already, and she ain't no punk. Amen. Even though she's half the size of his half size, amen, she can still get down with her bad self. And he says, man, I better listen to what Dad said. Or what happened with the first one is going to happen with this one. Discipleship not only calls for numerical growth, but personal growth. Can I get a handkerchief, please? Pretty please, with icing on it. Amen. not a napkin, a handkerchief. I'm hooked on them now, and I wanted to do this right now, and it don't look good. Amen? But I took care of it while using an example. Amen? I just got hooked to a handkerchief. Amen? I don't want to look like T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes uses it on top of his head. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's go to verse 13. Amen. These were warnings against falling away. I want to let you know here this night, what can make you fall away? Staying immature. You can be in one of the most powerful churches in Milwaukee and still fall away if you ain't personally growing in the things of the Lord. I have a good feeling that the Lord's going to speak here this night. And it goes for all of us. These instructions are for all of us. Hebrews 5:13 says, anyone, to me that means it could be everyone. But it's making a distinguish here. A distinguishing here says, anyone who lives on milk. He uses the word lives there. I know this portion of scripture very well. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, meaning remaining at the same place. Being still an infant is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. And the comparison comes there in verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have train themselves. You need to train yourself. I can preach on Friday, I can preach on Sunday, but during the week, you got to be able to train yourself to go from the state of immaturity to maturity. You can't be trained by just coming to church on Sunday and thinking because you come every Sunday, you can become a mature Christian. You might be able to, but it's going to take a lot of Sundays. A lot of years. There was a study made, and I've said it before, that the rehab is so concentrated where you men are at, where you women are at, that you would have to come to church, faithfully to church, for 13 years. To get what you can get from the rehab in 1 year. And a lot of times we think, oh, you're so long, I can't do a year. Can you do 13 years being immature in church? The answer is no. No way, Jose. And God wants to redeem the time. And in 1 year, he wants to give you 13 years back. And not just 13 years back, but knowing Jesus by the time you graduate that program. Knowing how to train yourself. Knowing how to go from the milk to the solid things that Jesus wants to teach your life and my life. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, which takes place in the rehab, constant use of God's word goes through the rehab. And the church is a couple of days out of the week. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you glory. Give you honor. We know that you're here. We know that you're already speaking. So we open our ears. We train ourselves this night to hear your word, to receive a greater faith, to be taken from immaturity to maturity, that we may be able to distinguish good from evil. Put me to the side here this night, Lord, and may all the glory and honor go unto you. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. This message is for everybody. We all still have a lot of room within our lives to grow. Amen? Because of how great the Lord is. The Bible in verse 14 says, anyone who lives on milk. Amen? Amen. And he was making a comparison here that when you have a baby, amen, it lives on milk for a season. It can be when the baby's born, you know, giving it a hot dog, a brat. Amen? And even if you're Mexican, to give your baby a bean burrito with chile and all that stuff on it. And no matter how good they are, you're not going to give it to your brand new baby. Amen? You just don't do that. They need to live on the milk. They need to live on milk. But they need to live on that milk just for a season. Amen? Just for a season. And the Bible says here, this is heavy. It's making a comparison. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. When I think about righteousness, we know that Christ, through what he did at the cross, allows us to be right. The cross ain't up there no more. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to get a cross up here. So when I think about teachings of righteousness, you can go many areas of the Bible, but I think about the cross and what really took place at the cross, the sacrifice, the atonement of the very life of Jesus, for us not to remain the same infants living on milk. When I think of righteousness, when a lot of guys and women just stay at the same place, they really don't know what took place at the cross. It don't rip their heart. It don't bring a conviction of what was done for us to be here this night, so we can take it lightly when things are not said the way we want them to be told to us. We can give up quickly. We can look for another church. And as babies are on the pure milk, it's only for a season. And eventually, the mother will start weaning off the baby, amen, with little bites of solid food. Slowly, even in dogs, a mother will wean off the puppies. They'll want more and more, and she'll take off running from them. She will no longer give them milk. Even the instincts of a mother dog knows that her puppies cannot live on milk. Ooh, that was a good one there. It's not in the notes. Whether it's a ghetto dog, perro callejón, that's an alley dog, never been taken care of. It knows that those puppies, after a season, cannot stay on her milk. The proper word is called her teats, T-E-A-T-S. Guys are getting a lesson, amen? She knows that those puppies, if they're to grow and to become grown, that she's going to have to bring solid food to them. Whether it's from the trash can or the owner's dog food, she knows. It's an instinct. When you and I become born again, there should be an instinct within your life not to stay immature in the things of the Lord, but to grow and to become mature. He places that within you early on to say you're going to do something great. But in pulling off the greatness that God has placed within your life, you're going to have to mature. So he places it in your life early on for you to work to become mature, to be able to fulfill the calling of God upon your life. Amen. I put here, as born again Christians, no matter what your age is, whether you got born again when you were 10 years old, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50. Even if you're 50 years old and you gave your life to the Lord, You're going to have to start with the milk, the pure milk, the elementary truths of the gospel. And that's where discipleship comes in, very important. When there's a 20-year-old teaching a 50-year-old the elementary truths of God's word. You're going to have to go to the pure milk. Too many times we get caught up in the Holy Ghost, God speaks, and we want to pass the process of the milk, and we want to go into the calling of God because he spoke to you. It don't work like that. There's a season to be in the pure milk. There's a season of elementary truths that each and every one of us need as a foundation within our lives, dealing with the cross, the blood of Jesus, and how he covered all of our sins at the cross of Calvary. So no matter what your age is, when you give your life to the Lord, even if you're eating tacos and bean burritos, you got to go back to the spiritual milk. And a lot of times we get saved at 30, 40, 50, think we got it all figured out. And we don't want elementary truths. We don't want to follow what the leader is telling us because it seems ridiculous. That's where humility comes in. Humility is something that allows one to become mature in the things of the Lord. It's something that we all need at all times, not just in the beginning, not just midway, but all the time. We all need at the very end of Jesus' walk here on earth. He humbled himself at the cross. Verse 14 says, but solid food is for the mature. It goes on to say, food is true, who by common use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I put here, maturity in Christ not only allows one to distinguish, another word for distinguish, to know, amen, to distinguish good from evil, to know good from evil, but maturity in Christ allows us to distinguish good from evil within our actions. It's not just something that we know that we're supposed to do. That's religion. Religion knows what to do, but religion can't do it. Too many knowing without doing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know what's right. You're able to distinguish good from evil. You know what scriptures say. You know the scriptures I'm preaching on here this night. Oh, I know about those scriptures. I even gave a Bible study on that scripture. But are you walking it instead of just giving it? So here the Bible says if you want to be mature and being able to distinguish good from evil, it's something that we just can't know. It's something, maturity is something where a man and woman finally reaches the place from taking the knowledge and bringing application to the knowledge. Humbling themselves and bringing application. Every one of us here, whether it's your first service, you know right from wrong. That's why when we started messing up back as young ones, we snuck out. We didn't walk out the front door at 9 o'clock at night. We snuck out the window at 12 o'clock at night after the parents went to sleep. We knew we were wrong young. We were able to distinguish what we were doing was wrong. And that's why we had to do it on the down low. Because we knew it was wrong. The Lord gives us all a conscience to know right from wrong. And a lot of us here this night know God's word. But my question is, just by distinguishing good from evil does not say you're mature. It's doing what is right that allows one to be mature. Not just knowing what is right. But maturity in Christ allows us to distinguish good from evil, not only with our thinking and our knowledge, but within our actions. I have a question here this night. How many want to grow? How many want to mature in the things of the Lord that He has spoken to you long ago? How many want that being brought to pass? You're going to have to mature. You can't stay at the state when the Word of God came to you. In order for God's Word not to return void back to Him, you need to mature. Simple teaching, but I know it's a good one if you apply it. Your pastor could never put a study together in 15 minutes. It's good stuff. Practical good stuff. Question, how many want to grow in not just knowing what to do, but doing it? How many want to go beyond just knowing what to do? You know what Christ wants from your life. How many want to grow and become mature to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God within your life? Some of you are not getting results that you want because you're just knowing and not doing. The Bible says to be knowing and not doing to you is considered forth as sin. You're in sin. God's word here this night. And I, to confirm that, I go to Romans, one of my the favorite scriptures in the world. You all know pastor's favorite teaching. It's Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I read this in prison. I didn't know nothing. I said, man, this is me. I knew I was good inside. Man, I couldn't get it to come forth. I was stuck. I knew it was there, but I couldn't bring it forth. That is, with my actions. I knew what was good. I knew what I had to do, but I couldn't bring it forth. Romans 7. Let's go to 19 through 25. For what I do is not the good I want to do. That's everything I've said in a nutshell right now. You know what to do, but you continue to do what you don't want to do. You know what to do here in your mind. I always say where you're really at is where your feet's taking you. Where you been lately? It's not where your mind's at. It's where your feet end up at. So here, Paul, out of all people, he knew what was good. He knew what he wanted to accomplish, but all that kept coming out was the evil he didn't want to do. And he was torn between good and evil. And I believe what tore him the most was that he knew what was good. And I believe the biggest battle that we face in our lives today is not the work of the enemy, is not your brother or sister, is that you know what to do, but you're still not doing it. And that's why you struggle. And you wonder why God ain't moving yet. They're inner acts of disobedience. You're still trying to have your cake and eat it at the same time. God's been speaking lately, and He's speaking once again. TDI, tell you never thank God it's Friday. He's talking about me here this night. I have those issues. It just may not be in the same level that you have. Man, I want to take the world for Jesus. I can't even fill up this church yet. But I want to take the world. For what I do is not the good I want to do. How many want to do good? How many want to grow? No. The evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Ooh, shando rando. Amen. Verse 20. Now if I do not want to do. Now, if I do not, what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another work in the members of my body, where you actually end up at, who you're talking to, who you're connecting with. It comes through your body parts. Inside, you want to serve God. But there's an inner war, waging war within you by the parts that make up your body. And the Bible says, but I see another law, verse 23, at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind that knows what is right, that knows what is good, that is able to distinguish good from evil. And making me a prisoner. How many feel like you're in prison right now? Of the law of sin at work within my members, the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. So I ask, what allows us to do what we don't want to do? The answer is sin. Sin. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know the calling upon your life. And there's an inner war, waging war against the plan of God within your life. Isn't that what she told you, what he told you, and how he or she spoke to you? It's sin. It's sin. What took Jesus to the cross? It's sin that allows you to keep doing what you don't want to do. Hebrews 6:1. Let's go back to Hebrews. Talking about growing, becoming mature, being used of God this night. I was hearing my wife. She was speaking the word devotion before, and she was just being herself. And I think that's the best I ever heard. She didn't go to Bible and all that. So she opened up and... But she said something. She said, I really believe there's a revival taking place. And I was just in the back with my little son Elias. Amen. And then, boom, it hit me in my heart real hard when she said that. It's what's really taking place right now. There's a revival taking place in our church right now. It really is, man. There really is. Hebrews 6:1. We're talking about growing up, becoming mature, not staying at the same place because of sin. 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Some of you got to leave some stuff behind, man. It might have worked for you 7-10 years ago when you got saved, the milk. But it ain't working for you today. 3-year, 5-year, 10 years later, that milk ain't allowing you to mature. You can't live on milk and expect to mature in the things of the Lord. Too many of us living in immaturity, living in the milk. 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. I have a question here. I'm not being a jokester. How many know your ABCs? Amen? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm going to stop there because I might get confused at the end. I haven't said them in a long time. We learned that in, where you learned that? First grade? Kindergarten? Second grade, if you're a late bloomer? I was a late bloomer. I learned my ABCs. And even I told Rehab, even though I flunked second grade two times, man, I learned my ABCs. And just like the school district wants you to go beyond your ABCs, if you want to go to the first grade and the second grade and the third grade, you can't get your doctor's degree on knowing the ABCs. You can't graduate elementary with just knowing your ABCs. You can't get to junior high, can't get to high school. And you know what I feel in my spirit right now, so close yet so far, is that we have too many ABC Christians in the church. At 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. ABC Christians. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You're still in the ABCs when it comes to the teachings of Christ, when it comes to the applications of the teaching of Christ. Not knowing the application, but applying the application. There is not power in knowing God's word. Oh, sister, what are you going to get? Finance? Find all the scriptures that deal with finances and quote them 20 times a day. I ain't going to do nothing if you don't give. I need a healing. Brother, man, go get you a book at the Christian store. They got one that gives you 500 scriptures dealing with healing. That ain't going to do no good until you apply God's word. That's what brings the power, the maturity. It allows you to go from the ABCs and leave the ABCs teachings behind to go on to maturity. We always like things the easy way. We're people that like things the easy way. We don't want to put in, but we want everything, and we're expecting everything to God to move in a mighty powerful way when we're in the ABCs. Speaking spiritually, I'm speaking about a good plug for the VETI course. I think it's going to be a blowout VETI course. Amen. I'm going to talk to Jamie with certain areas that I want done within this course. It might be his last one here. Amen. You got to get in your word. But that's just the beginning. I believe the word, I'm getting another good review right. I believe the word is the milk. The application is the solid food. Ooh. You know how you get to the solid food? By applying what the milk is supposed to do. I really believe in my spirit that this church is ready to take off. And if you stay behind, it's simply sin in your life. It ain't nothing that I haven't done or the leadership haven't done. The presence of God is here. But he gives us a decision to make to distinguish not only knowing good from evil, but if we're going to apply the teachings of Christ, the solid food to our life so that we can grow, so that we can mature. So people could say, he knows a lot about the Bible, she knows a lot about the Bible, but no, you want people saying, man, there goes a man of God. There goes a woman of God by you just simply walking by without even having to quote a scripture. Because they're able to see your deeds by what you do, not what you know. Again, I say, my dad would always say, all drunk with a mixed drink, son, do what I say, not what I do. And I was like, that messed me up, man. I didn't have the spirit then, amen? All right, okay, do what you say, not what you do. What did I do? I did what he did. I started drinking. I started messing up, amen? Because he influenced my life with what he did, not what he said. I believe here this night that the word of the Lord is the milk. It's for anyone and everyone that wants to mature. But you got to take that step of faith we call. You got to work it out, step it out. You got to apply it. But we want everything, the easiest way of no resistance to take place within our life. Point. Too many ABC Chris's I put here thinking they are mature because they've been saved. They know the Bible for 20 years now. I put here, heavy point, you can't become who God wants you to become remaining in elementary school. You can't become who God wants you to become remaining in elementary school. Many are held back in elementary school year after year in the natural because they don't study, they don't apply themselves. In the spiritual, many of us stay back year after year because of sin. I might have stayed back in the second grade 2 years in a row. I may not be the sharpest guy in the church, but I've learned how to walk the milk to become a solid Christian, a mature Christian that knows how to stand, and after standing, to stand some more. That comes from maturity, not from my head knowledge. That comes from applying God's word. Hebrews 6:6. If they fall away to be brought back to repentance. Again, this was the warning again. If they fall away to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. And subjecting him to public disgrace. Subjecting him to public disgrace. I put here, sin does not only bring a disgrace to your life, but also to the life of Jesus. As if he never paid for the sins of the world at the cross. You bring a disgrace to Jesus. To the power of Jesus that enables you to stay immature, your marriage to stay immature, your children to stay immature, because there's nobody growing, there's nobody maturing. So you got a family that's been coming to church for 10 years, and all of them are still immature. Good stuff. Good stuff. That's why we got to take those steps of faith when God knocks and God calls. When we know what to do and fear keeps us back, sin keeps us back, our inadequacies keep us back. I believe God knew the full picture and purpose for your life the day he called you, even though you didn't know nothing and you weren't even on his milk yet. You haven't even read a page. You haven't even had the baby bottle hadn't even been made yet. And God already knew how he was going to use your life. How many want to mature? I ask again here this night. In other words, how many want to make Jesus look all powerful as if he really did conquer sin at the cross? That we can bring hope and faith to our marriage, our children, the church, the sinner, the lost, the bound. Are you able to show maturity, or do you just know about maturity? James, I ask again, how many want to become mature? You got to want it. You got to really want it, man. You got to really want it to become mature. You got to want it so bad that you got to walk it. Even if you fall, even if you stumble, even if you make mistakes, you got to walk it to want it, to become mature. You just can't keep coming to church and saying, wow, that was a heavy message. Man, that word was for me. To know or to do? Man, Pastor Matt, thank you, man. I needed that word. I needed that. Man, you don't know how much, Pastor, I needed that word. And the person continues to live life as usual, as if that word wasn't to be applied. I don't know, but when a mother gives a baby bottle to the baby, the mother wants that baby to drink that milk. I don't know, but as a baby, man, just fed that kid, that poor little kid. The baby makes up, the mother makes up another bottle. And the baby stops crying. Some of you are crying and crying and crying. Help me, Jesus. The devil after me. And he gives you the word. And you stop crying. He expects you to take this word and apply it in your life. Me applying it for you and being your mother and father and all the above once or twice a week ain't going to cut it. You can't give a baby infant 2 bottles a week. And the Lord's good, man. He's breaking it down at everybody's level right now. He's breaking it down. Tell your neighbor the Lord breaking it down right now. Tell your neighbor, Pastor ain't that sharp. I keep it real. That's why God keeps blessing me. I ain't this sharp. I am a rock and a rock full of rocks, a box full of rocks. I ain't that sharp. You would never give your baby 2 bottles per week. But you think you can bring your children twice a week to the church. You think you can even bring your children to the youth night 3 services a week. But the 7 days at the house, you show nothing about prayer. You show nothing about a cracked open Bible. You show nothing that shows that knowledge is being applied. Not any knowledge, but the knowledge of God. But you expect them to do right. I'll whoop you. Beepity, I'll whoop you. Do that again. See if I don't whoop you. I would say it's the parents that need to be whooped on. And I believe a few are getting whooped on right now. You're just like, you're taking the whoopings like a tough Southsider. Man, last time I laid into Bianca, man, it was a long time ago, man. She tough. I think I spanked Alex like 3 times with the belt, and Bianca got it like 3 times, right? The last time, she was not going to bow down to the belt. Amen? She, bam! And I line up, I measure, I pull the biggest, heaviest leather one I got in the closet. I'm strategic. I measure like a baseball player, ready. Like a golfer, it's like a couple of practice swings. I'm getting old, baby, man. I swing cold real hard, and I'm the one that gets whacked, amen? So I'm measuring up. I got the big belt. I got the big wood. I'm going for 300-yard drive, amen? And I'm looking at that butt, amen? And I says, all right, you got to pinpoint on the same area. I'm going to land 3 on the same area like I do it every day. So I get up, and bam! Bam, right on the booyah. Second one, you got to do it quick. Bam, bam, bam. Got to apply heat. Got to keep it on there. Second one, it hits on the mark. I says, I'm getting through. And the third one, bam, and she's like, she ain't going to cry. I go, man, this girl tough. Alex cried, man, before I even swung the first one. I used to get the belt and get the ends, and I pop it, make it pop, pop. Get her here, boy. Pop, pop. Yeah! He cried already. Bianca didn't cry. I said, this girl, tough, because I landed everyone on target. Every last one. But I went to the room a couple of minutes later. I said, yeah, do it again. You ain't gonna cry. You ain't that tough. And I laid into her in control and righteous anger. She knows when I said, don't do that again. She ain't gonna do it again. She knows. I said, I pulled that belt out till you're 18, girl. Some parents keep pulling it out way after 18. Amen. Where do we go there? What verse took me there? Huh? Oh, yeah, Chava, that's the one. Too many want our kids to do what is right because you showed them everything. They have no excuse to get good grades at school. But you were a flunky all your life. And you expect this and expect this when you're not applying it yourself. Discipleship can't be that. Discipleship, Paul says, follow me as I follow God, as I follow Christ, follow me. He was showing them. He wasn't giving them a teaching every day. He says, follow me. You want to hang out with me? You want to pick up your cross, deny self? You got to follow me? That'll take place if you follow me. I tell you, those, you want to hang out with me, you better be prayed up. Devils are all around me like flies on poop. All day long. All day long. I should have said like white on rice. Like flies on dung for Mr. Jamie Darrell Professor. There. Dung. Like flies on dung. It's biblical if you want to know. I don't know if you're going to get it at... I don't know if you're going to get it on... What's the name of the subject? Huh? I don't know if you can get into spiritual warfare, man, but like flies on dung. Satan's after me 24-7. 24-7, trying to catch me slipping. I just keep applying God's word. I just keep doing what has always worked. But I don't stay at the same place. I continue to grow, and my spirit allows me to know that I am growing. We all have a conscience to know we're stuck and still at the same place with day-old bread. When Jesus says the prayer was, give me my daily bread, Jesus always got something fresh for you. For you can continue to grow. Give me this day my daily bread. Jesus always got something fresh for you, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. He's got something fresh that can fix you right up. I don't know too many people that go to the restaurant, their favorite restaurant, order the food, the food plate comes, and they just look at it. You're eating before you even pray for the food. James chapter 1. I need to apply God's word, guys. You want to grow into maturity and answer the call? You can't answer the call with the milk, knowing God's word. Solid food is walking, applying God's word. Same message. James chapter 1, verse 2. This rehab stuff right here, baby. It says, consider it pure joy, my brother, speaking to the believer, not the lost and bound. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many have been facing trials of many kinds? You may think everything's going wrong. No, it's God's way. It's God's process of fulfilling purpose in your life. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, there's that no word. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Verse 4, perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance to me is an action word. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There's a process here, a three-step process. The way the Lord is able to take a man or a woman from immaturity, from the pure milk of God's word, to solid food, to being able to apply it, to grow in maturity. And the first thing the Lord is going to do, he's going to test your faith. How is he going to test your faith? By many trials. It almost sounds not biblical. The first thing he's going to do is test your faith. How strong is your trust and belief in him so that you can continue to stand? He will test your faith. The first thing the Lord do will test the testing of your faith, the trials of many kinds. I put here, too many failed the test of faith. There's a title to that test, and it's called the test of faith. Of God testing your faith in not just knowing it, why you trust in him, but applying and showing that you trust in him. It's the test of faith. Too many fail the test of faith. Why? Because they come with many trials. How can the Lord test your faith with good news? With mountaintop revelation? How can he test your faith when everything's going good in the right way? Come on. Let's get high tonight, amen, in the Lord. It ain't happening with good news. He don't use just one trial. He uses many trials, the Bible says. He goes on to say, consider it pure joy. Why? It's going to take you to maturity. If you're facing something right now, if it's of God, it's to take you to the place of maturity. If it's of the enemy, God is able still to use all things for the good to those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. God uses all things. What the enemy did for evil, God can flip it for the good. God, I put here, will never, okay, too many failing the test of faith. Maybe the tests he gives us are too hard. No, because another scripture says, I should have wrote it down, but I wrote this real quick. I put God will, the scripture says, God will never give you beyond what you can bear. So when you're getting tested, your faith is getting tested with the test of faith, God will never test you. God will tell you he will never tempt you, but he will test you. Do you think we serve a heavenly Father that would test us to fail us? Some of you are saying, I can't take it no more. I'm leaving the home. This is crazy. No, what was crazy was being out in the street corner. That's crazy. Without two nickels to rub together. I like when, what's his name, Jerome from Atlanta, he preached that. He would be going like this all the time, like he was reaching for money in his pockets. He would always be doing like, you know, doing always doing this, like he was about to put out a wad of money, right? And he said, then he would pull out his pockets, and at the bottom, there were holes in his pocket. He did that so much at the bottom of his pockets that he wore every day, had holes in them. He would always be acting like, where's my money, man? I'm about to cop. Where's my money, man? He had me rolling, man, when he did that one. I used to do that coming to the connection. It would be up in the upper window. I'd be doing all this stuff. When I was knocking at 3 a.m. in the morning, I'd be making a look. And then I would have like a couple of dollars, and I would be going over and over, counting the same $2 to get them to come up at 3 in the morning to answer the call. Then I'd show up, and I have $2. Come on, please do. Bah! The door would slam. Yeah, baby. That was a line for the true ex-dolphins. God will never give you a test that's beyond you passing the test. He'll never give you a test to fail you. It's you. So he goes on. The first thing is the testing of faith. The second, the testing of your faith. If you pass the testing of your faith test, it brings perseverance to your life. Amen? It brings perseverance to your life. Bible says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. We know what perseverance is. I ain't got to give a Webster dictionary breakdown. When we were out there in the world, we knew how to persevere. We knew how to press in. We knew how to stay out all night for two or three nights. We know what it is to persevere. James is telling us here that by passing the tests of our faith, that it develops perseverance, not in the world, but perseverance in Jesus, to stay in the good fight. Amen. A good fight represents action. Running the good race represents action to me. Development of the man in the making, of the woman in the making. Fighting and running to me represents somebody being developed spiritually, growing spiritual muscles, growing in perseverance and wind. To be able to fight the good fight, not just for a season, but until the coming of the Lord. To become mature, a mature fighter, a mature runner. Not only fighting when you feel like it and running when you feel like it. It says that the test in our faith, when we pass it, it develops perseverance. How does this perseverance once again come? By many trials. The Bible goes on that it must, perseverance, verse 4 says, perseverance must finish its work. How are you going to become mature? You got to stay in the fight. You got to stay in the fight. Whether those trials that are coming at you right now are of God or the enemy, you got to stay in the fight. It's a must. That you persevere in Jesus. If you want to become mature, you can't walk out of Jesus and think because you're getting older, eventually you're going to become mature and you're just going to become older and that's it. One day die, nobody will ever think about you again. It says the perseverance must finish its work. Work to me once again sounds like action, application. It's not a knowing word. I wish I had more grammar. I would tell you, praise the Lord. It's not a knowing word. But in return, through the many trials of the testing of our faith, amen, develops perseverance. And as perseverance finishes work, what does it develop? Maturity. Man, Pat, I don't know if I want to go through all that, man. I don't know. You're going to go through many trials whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. One destination's hell, one's heaven. One outcome is being blessed, the other one is being cursed. Whether you serve the devil, you're going to have to put some application. Whether you serve Jesus, you're going to have to put application. Mature and complete, lacking anything. I put it here again because it's the truth. I can use it because I still don't have money. I put, though I don't have money, I still lack nothing. Chava, I'm going to put you on funds. He hooked me up with $200 in my office. I said, I'm good, man. I'm good. No, I get the way that I go. So I came back in the church. I said, man, I feel rich right now. I got $200 in my pocket. He loves me and I love him. Chava's not perfect. Tell your neighbor, Chava's not perfect. But Chava loves God, and God has been real to Chava. Amen. He's facing many trials right now. Amen. He's still here tonight. Amen. Amen. It's developing maturity. It's developing maturity. And even if things that took place were fair or not fair, as long as he perseveres, the day of maturity is going to come to his life. God ain't done with you yet, Chava. If anybody wants me to speak good about them, give me better than 200, and I'll have you on Sunday morning's message. Amen? I even make a video for you on the overhead screens. Money's funny, man. Make people do stuff, man. I might get some bidders here right now. It's got to be better than 200, man, because if it's not, just count it off. No deal. No deal. Though I don't have money, I still lack nothing. And have everything because I have Jesus. I told the brother the other day that little is much when Jesus is in it. That little word, I got it a long time ago. It always pops up in my spirit. Little is much when Jesus is in it. This work started with car washes, but Jesus was in the car washes. Car wash represents action also. It's not a knowing word. Car wash is not a knowing word. Jamie, give me an educated word for there's, huh? A verb. Órale, chava, ya cállate tú, ya hablé de ti bien, man. Don't kill it, man. Is it a verb? Tell me he's wrong. Not an action word. It's not a noun. Come on, Jamie, say something. Oh, my God. We're going to go with the verb. It sounded good. Oh, my God. Was it adjective? I remember adjective. That was many years ago, man. And the cinnamon and all them other words, man. Oh, my Jesus. I lack nothing, not even education. Like the apostles, they were spending time with Jesus. I spend time with Jesus. I'm highly educated in the spiritual realm, where it matters and where it counts. In the spiritual realm, I'm highly educated today through the many trials, through the testing of my faith, through hanging in there when everything in me wanted to tear me to pieces. It has now, the outcome has developed maturity in my life. I know where I'm at now when I'm preaching. I had never had this before. That means I'm growing. And with maturity comes a greater compassion, greater love, where you lack nothing, and whoever you're speaking to lacks nothing. Because you have maturity. It's discipleship. Teach them not only what you know, but you got to apply it, what you know, in your works of discipleship with who you're working with. A good Bible study is good, but they want to see it. They just don't want to know it. Though I don't have money, I still lack nothing. Why? I have maturity today in my life that I know that money ain't my foundation. Jesus is my foundation. And with him comes all things where I lack nothing. We're going to be rolling in the money, just not yet. But even when there was no money, no vision of it coming in, I was still faithful to them $5 car washes. Not just in Milwaukee, but 7 years of it in Salinas. Lavando carros, man. Car wash. Car wash. Signs out there in the middle of the street. Car wash. Car wash. Come on, Lord, send one around the corner. Send what I talk this. What brought this? Come on, Lord, I know if you got me saved, you can send a car around the corner right now. Car wash. Man, I would get so happy when we did a good car wash day. We had a good one, and it would take me over 3 minutes to count all the money. I was happy, man. We had money. It was all on my bed. It was almost like my dope dealing days, where there were a bunch of ones, man. But, man, it looked like a lot of money. I didn't see how tired I was. I didn't see that. I seen the provision of God through the little things by applying. Because in the car washes, I was always being stirred that God was going to do something great in and through my life. Started at a car wash. Started off in the milk. I didn't even have milk coming as a pastor. I didn't have word in me. Why? I have maturity. I close and say, godly maturity is what is able to allow you to lack nothing. Godly maturity is what it's able to allow you to lack nothing. Stop chasing the dollar bill. Even the dollar bill tells you, trust in God. Stop trusting in the money. Pastor, why are you guys picking on money? Because we're about to lose all these buildings. But God's moving on our behalf. Money's needed, don't get me wrong. It's just not the foundation. It's not the source of what's taking place here. There's big congregations because they got big money. But the source and the person of the Holy Spirit ain't there. The teacher of teacher, the counselor of counselor, physician of physicians, it's not there. Don't get caught up in money. Get caught up in Jesus. And you will lack nothing. A promise from your pastor. I put here, I know a lot of people that have a lot of money, but still lack many things and are very immature. I know a lot of people that have a lot of money, a lot of education, but still lack many things, still have many voids within their life that could never be filled by money by itself, that only Jesus can fill. Spend time with Jesus. Allow his word to be something that you just don't know, but something you do. The book of James, not only be a hearer of the word, because by hearing the word, you can know his word, but be a doer of his word. Good message tonight. Amen. Stop tripping on money, man. Stop tripping on money. Stop tripping on money. It does not represent success. The saving of the lost and the bound represents success. Working with people, discipling people with your maturity in the making represents success as we stand this day. I end with saying true discipleship perseveres. True discipleship perseveres. If you know you're called, don't quit.